Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Hello to you, the listener. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Gail Seiler, your host for today. Later in the show, we'll hear a report on legislation that was introduced in the Iowa Senate that would dismantle the Des Moines Water Works and was approved by an Iowa Senate subcommittee on Thursday. And a little later, we'll be joined by Susan Guiazda, the public relations officer for the City of Ames, who will be here for her monthly segment to tell us the many things we need to know this month as Ames residents. But first, we're going to be talking about International Women's Day, which will be coming up on March 8th. This day of commemoration for women was established by the United Nations in 1975. It's a global day celebrating the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. The day also marks a call to action for accelerating gender parity. The first Women's Day was started by a rally in the U.S. in 1909 to mark the one-year anniversary of the 1908 New York garment workers' strike. It was then taken up by people in many other countries to protest war and rally for women's right to vote. In fact, a triggering event of the Russian Revolution was a Women's Day protest in St. Petersburg in 1917. Today, it is celebrated in places such as China and Russia as a sort of state-sanctioned Valentine's Day, Mother's Day hybrid. The tradition in those countries is to give flowers and gifts to the important women in one's life. International Women's Day is observed around the world with rallies, conferences, discussion groups, and educational events on college campuses and community centers. And it's used as an anchoring point for women's movements. In recent years, demonstrators have taken to the streets on or around March 8th in several Middle Eastern countries, including Egypt, Tunisia, Lebanon, Yemen, and Iran. And Ames isn't left out. We have a tradition that's carried on every year in having a large community discussion group at Ames Public Library. Women representing a number of local organizations come together every year to plan the event and to lead it. And three of those organizers are here to tell us about what is planned this year. Hunter Martin is here from the Carrie Chapman Catt Center for Women and Politics. Andrea Greneau is here from Worldly Goods. And Mary Logsdon is here from the Ames Public Library. Welcome, and thank you all for coming. Let's just get right into it. Tell us what's happening this year in Ames for International Women's Day.
Well, this year, as in several years past, we at the Ames Public Library are just thrilled to be hosting the annual International Women's Day. At 2 o'clock this Sunday, March 5th, we'll be welcoming people in the community to please join us in the library auditorium for what we hope an afternoon that will be informative and empowering for all those present. So, Hunter, do you want to say a little bit more about what's happening on Sunday?
Yeah, we're going to meet in small groups, so it'll be a very open environment to kind of learn and have any questions answered. We have several different topics. So we're talking about racial justice, LGBTQ, immigrant rights, women in STEM, women in business, and women's health. And so you can kind of pick and choose which topic you'd like to learn more about, and we'll kind of meet and learn a little bit more about International Women's Day as a whole and kind of the different impacts we can have here in Ames.
So is it a kind of a roundtable format after the introductory part?
Yeah, very much so. There will be facilitators, so someone that's kind of a little bit more of an expert in the field will be facilitating about each of the topics, and then participants can choose which topic they're interested in, but it's very open, it's very discussion-based, kind of like activity-based, where you can kind of learn more about the topic and this like interchange of information.
And this is not the first year. How many years have you been doing this?
I looked back, and I know that at least since 2006, so we're going, that is definitely more than 10 years, the library has been working with partners in the community. And one of the things I'd like to acknowledge is that each year, it seems, our partnerships have grown. I know, Andrea, Worldly Goods has been involved for a number of years.
Yes.
This is actually the first year that the Carrie Chapman Catt that. Center for Women in Politics has joined us as a partner, which is really wonderful. We're just always looking for additional partners. May I mention some of our other partners? Everyone's not here right now, but also we have the League of Women Voters of Ames and Story County, Access Assault Care Center, Extending Shelter and Support, Wheatsfield Co-op, IRIS, that's Iowa Resource for International Service, India Cultural Association, and the YWCA Ames Iowa State University. Each of those organizations has a representative who's been engaged in our planning for this year's event, which is at least the 10th, 11th, or 12th years that we've done this at the library.
So it's quite a wide community collaboration that comes together for it.
Absolutely.
And how many people usually attend, and who are they?
Oh, we usually have, I would guess, around 100 to 200, depending on the year and the situation. And they're members of the community, not all women. I do want to emphasize that we have had several men in the past come join us with this event, and that's always been fun to get their perspectives. But yes, we encourage everyone to come. It's a place for all to be safe and share their ideas and thoughts.
One of the other aspects of having everyone gather is that in addition to the roundtable discussions on the topics that Hunter mentioned, we are really embracing the theme for this year's International Women's Day, which is Be Bold for Change. And if you go to the website of the International Women's Day official website for the celebration, there is a lot of information there about ways in which to advocate for gender parity worldwide. But what we're hoping is that people will, during the discussion, reach a point where they themselves will identify a way in which they can be bold for change in the coming year as individuals and or as groups.
We'll have little pledge cards available that day for people to write their pledges down, and they can see them. We'll be posting them on our Facebook page.
So by pledges, you don't mean monetary pledges.
No.
You mean pledges
of
for
action. Yes, how they will be bold for change. And that can be different things for different people.
That's part of the conversation with the facilitators, is trying to make action steps to reach gender parity. You know, even within our, you know, here in Ames, like, you can take small steps within the local community to try to reach that international goal.
In years past, gender parity was, and I don't have the number of what it used to be, but right now the number, the gender gap, will not close entirely until 2186. And that used to be much closer. And as time has gone by, we've actually lost some of the years. So every little step that we can take to close that gap around the world will help.
So that year projection is based on, if everybody started doing everything right, it would still take that long to
yes.
bridge the gap?
Yes, and I actually
words?
Went and read up on how they're figuring it. And there are so many bits and pieces that go into it. It's boring, trust me. It's boring to look at how they figure it. But they take jobs, they take social injustices into effect across the world. So, I mean, this is in the U.S. and in the African, Southeast Asia, Europe. Everybody's taken into consideration in this number.
Also, issues related to access to education, access to health care. Mm-hmm. So, as you say, Andrea, there are so many different factors that go into the measure to determine where we are in terms of providing equality for half of the human population. So
by asking people to pledge to take some action, that's your way of connecting with the international theme, which is be bold. What was it again?
Be bold for change.
For change.
Yeah. Okay. There's a hashtag, so if you would like to sponsor us on social media, it's hashtag be bold for change.
Hunter, I think you were going to tell us about something else that's being planned actually for March 8th.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a day without women?
Yeah,
tell us about that.
A new, not necessarily event, but there's a new thing starting this year, kind of after the Women's March on Washington. It's called A Day Without Women, and it's also on March 8th, and it's kind of combining the two. So it's, you know, also about that. And women from 35 different countries are supposed to be participating. And it's basically a strike where the people organizing it are hoping that as many women as possible will either take the day off work or take the day off of unpaid work, because women predominantly do the majority of unpaid labor, both in the U.S. and internationally. And if you cannot take the day off work, as many people cannot, which is recognized that there are a lot of different barriers barring people from taking the day off work, to show solidarity, wearing red on the 8th is what kind of is helping to move forward a day without women. But it's really to kind of show the international community in the same way that the Day Without Immigrants strike that just happened. It's kind of showing the same, where it's like women are huge parts of the community and a huge part of the labor force, both the unpaid labor force and the paid labor force, and kind of trying to show what a day without women would be.
So we may have people in the Ames community participating in that and connecting with the international efforts.
Yeah. It's supposed to be kind of this community effort to either, if you cannot take the day off work, to maybe sponsor another woman to take a day off work, or support your female employees if they choose to take the day off work. Oregon wearing red is supposed to be a show of support and solidarity. I read up on if men want to, or men are encouraged to participate. And some of those efforts could be to step up in the household or step up in ways that women are often seen. So like the cleaning and childcare and those things that women are often under-recognized for, so that men can kind of step up and maybe take over some of those responsibilities on March 8th.
And we invite everyone to come into Worldly Goods, not necessarily to shop, but to come in and just be a part of the day and just celebrate women. And it's a nice place, safe place for all to gather and celebrate women.
That's a nice invitation. And you always have samples of coffee and tea available.
Yes, yes.
So people can stop in for that. Getting back to the overall theme, I'm curious how each of you kind of connect with that personally and how you see that theme in, you know, playing out in your own lives.
I personally am a double major in public relations and women's studies at Iowa State, and I declared my double major in women's studies because I was really interested to learn more about women, basically. But it goes so much farther beyond that, because you cannot call yourself a feminist if you are not inclusive of women of color and LGBTQ community and all of these different issues. So my biggest step that I have taken in my life to be bold for change is to make sure that I'm aware of the different changes that are happening and are continue to happen. And I think that education is key in that. And so it's something that I'm really proud to say that we're going to sponsor on Sunday, is that we're going to be educating people on these different topics that they might not know as much about.
Yeah. From my point of view, I would say professionally, being bold for change is something that I absolutely embrace as a member of the staff of the Ames Public Library, where really an emphasis of our work is education, as well as embracing diversity and inclusion in all of our services, our collections, our programs, etc. And while that's something that is has always been a big part of our mission, I would say that for myself personally and professionally, I'm seeing more and more the need for taking bold steps to engage with the community and to really emphasize that the library is the community hub that, like many other places in the community, values education, free access to information. We serve people, men and women, children, people from all backgrounds, with all different kinds of needs, fairly and equally. And so I would say just stepping that up, being bold and being a little bit more vocal about the role that the library plays in that regard, is something that I, you know, would like to make a statement to do this coming year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, we had a lot of great discussion on what Be Bold for Change meant with our group organizers. And, you know, each one of us takes it in as a different level. I mean, some of us are very bold in our lives, but we're very bold for others and not so much for ourselves. And so I am going to make it a personal thing for myself is to be more bold for myself and stand up more for my own feelings and not just others. Now, that sounds very selfish, but I'm hoping that then I can inspire other young students that come through Worldly Goods to stand up for themselves, and other artisans around the world that I have contact with to stand up for themselves and not just do it for a group, but do it for their own self-worth. And that's really, really important. I think if we all take this moment and think about what our own self-worth is, that will help make a huge change for everyone.
So it's interesting to hear that you're thinking about the action for change on a number of different levels between the three of you. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Hunter Martin from the Carrie Chapman Catt Center for Women in Politics, Andrea Greneau from Worldly Goods, and Mary Logsdon from the Ames Public Library. And they're part of the organizing committee for International Women's Day. And they're telling us about the upcoming event. Last year, I didn't attend, but I heard some things afterwards. I think we did a story after the fact last year. Was there anything that hit you last year, like any particular reaction you got that really made you think, wow, that's a cool thing that happened and really made you feel that the event was a success?
Well, last year we had the pledge cards as well, and it's always fun to see people write them down and really think about them and their personal reactions to it. And also just getting together with all different people and really just sharing, that's really powerful. Mm-hmm. Just being in a room and sharing thoughts together in a safe place is very powerful. So,
one of the observations I think I made it last year, it may have been for the last couple of years, is that I think we've hit on a very nice format for the event by focusing on small group discussions. There are always different ways of hosting these sorts of celebrations, community events. And a number of years ago, they had more of a panel discussion, invited speakers, followed by a tea and you know, opportunity for mingling. And I think that was very successful and that worked well. But several years ago, I know that a number of us who've been on this committee for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years especially, decided to change the format a little bit and really have the focus be on individual conversations in small group setting. And it's struck me last year that that is really effective. As Andrea said, I think people really are looking for opportunities to share their personal experiences as well as their observations and then also their hopes with others who are concerned about the same topics. And there's a lot of power in that. And I remember thinking, yeah, this is a format that works. And so I think you'll see there's a lot that will be new and different. But then I think the overall format for the event has been quite successful. And we're ready to have another lovely afternoon.
So you're keeping that format for this year?
We are keeping the format. There'll be a brief introduction. There'll be an opportunity to mingle. We'll have some refreshments that we invite people to have at the start. But then we'll break out into conversation and then have a little bit of a reporting out. I think that's another aspect of it that's kind of nice, right, Hunter?
Yeah. At the beginning, we're also going to watch a very brief video. And it was really hard to select only one, but for timeliness, we chose the best one we thought. But there are a bunch of other videos that have been shared on both our Facebook page and our Twitter page, so you can kind of keep up that way, and we can connect you to some more resources. Because International Women's Day is, you know, huge, and there's major support from a lot of different organizations, both again in the U.S. and internationally, and so kind of trying to engage that way is another great way that people can engage with International Women's Day.
And considering that Ames is a predominantly white town, what efforts have you made to reach out to a more diverse group of women and people to come to this event? Have you been able to
Well, with each
be
one
successful
of our groups, you know, we all have a whole different subset. I mean, we all can reach out to different sectors of Ames, and so we've done that through our own offerings. I mean, we really worked hard to find facilitators in all different sectors. So we just hope the community will respond and come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I hope that I do know that we've reached out to several women in the community who are women of color who will be participating as facilitators. And I hope that everyone will see themselves in, you know, in the topics and be interested in coming. As Andrea said, we definitely are looking to have a diverse audience and participation. And we really invite everyone to come out.
And we will have refreshments. Mary touched on that, but we absolutely will have fun refreshments. We want to make sure to thank Hy-Vee for donating fruit trays and Wheatsfield Worldly Goods. We will make sure that you are refreshed throughout the day, so it will be worth it to come for that.
Decorations.
Oh, yes. And
decorations. Ursula, our engineer, snuck in a question.
Yes. And Stacy from Wheatsfield has done fantastic research, and she... We are also having flowers, I should say.
That's right,
Mary Kay Flowers.
Yes,
so thank you for that. But Stacy has done some research on some people, influential women around the world. We'll have jars focusing on Rosa Parks, Angela Davis, Dorothy Height. I have a whole list of them here, but I learned so much reading what Stacy put together for this event that it will be amazing. Audre Lorde, who's... famous in the LGBTQ community, Laverne Cox, Adrienne Rich, Monique Leroux, Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler. All of these people I didn't necessarily know, and now I know so much more about some of the women that really have played influential roles in our lives, and we didn't even realize it.
Are there any other sponsors you want to get a plug in for? You mentioned Hy-Vee and...
I think that covers it in terms of the refreshments and flowers, the decorations. I think you've got them all covered, and all of our partner organizations we've mentioned.
I know we haven't mentioned the time. I feel like
we need to get the details out.
Yeah. So Mary?
Sunday, March 5th. At 2:00 at the Ames Public Library.
Until about what? How long does it usually go?
Until around 4:00. Until around 4:00. So it'd be great for you to arrive at 2:00. You can mingle, have some refreshments, think about the topic that you'd like to explore, and then it's going to go really from 2:00 to 4:00. So we invite people to certainly come. And really, it's a celebration of the achievements of women, and that's what you will we'll all have an opportunity to learn about the achievements of women through these centerpiece displays at the tables that Andrea just mentioned, and then explore ways that you can really be bold for change going forward.
And we'll have links to your website. You have a website. Do you want to give that?
Well, the library's website is amespubliclibrary.org. We have a presence on Facebook for the International Women's Day Coalition of Ames. There's a link there. What else should we share?
We also have a Twitter account, which obviously links to our Facebook page that you can access. And that Twitter account is Ames_IWD. So if you are having trouble finding us on Facebook, you can go to AmesWID first on Twitter and find our Facebook page.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for coming in. We'll put links to those up on our website when we put the show up so people can find it that way. Thanks to Hunter Martin from Carrie Chapman Catt Center for Women in Politics, Andrea Greneau from Worldly Goods, and Mary Logsdon from the Ames Public Library. We hope it's a very successful event. It sounds great.
Thank you for having us and having a chance to see the beautiful sunrise over the Ames power plant this morning.
Thank you.
We like to encourage people to get up early. There have been many, switching gears a little bit now, there have been many bills introduced and making their way through the Iowa legislature in recent weeks, and KHOI has been trying to keep you well informed on as many as we can. One that is of great significance to water quality in Iowa is Senate Study Bill 1146, which would dismantle the Des Moines Water Works. Our intrepid reporter, Greta Anderson, brings us this update and interview related to this bill.
Ever since 2015, when the Des Moines Water Works filed a lawsuit against upstream counties, its director, Bill Stowe, has become rural Iowa's favorite boogeyman. The Farm Bureau joined with other corporate interests to air television ads combining grainy black and white images of Stowe with menacing messages, as if he were an evil politician seeking to destroy all that Iowans hold dear. 2 weeks ago, that political ad campaign came to fruition when Republican State Representative Jared Klein filed House Bill 316 to dismantle the Des Moines Waterworks and distribute its assets and leadership among regional authorities. The Des Moines Waterworks is an independent utility whose pipes and facilities are owned by its customers and managed by a board of five directors who receive no compensation for their work. The bill would dismiss those directors and establish control by several different regional entities, including the city of Des Moines. Much of the utility's capital assets would be given over to the city, at least for 2 years. At a meeting of supporters last Thursday, Stowe expressed his and his board's dismay that the Des Moines City Council would go along with what he calls this asset grab.
I will tell you that I'm confident to a person, our board felt great angst, sorrow, surprise that we would be in a situation where we're here talking against Mayor County and the Des Moines City Council. Mayor County and many on that council have been our allies for years, but we heard very directly that we were in a losing position, that this legislation was going to happen anyway, and Des Moines should protect its interests. We have hundreds of millions of dollars in assets. Bloor Drive plant, our plants in Maffitt Reservoir Area 1 in Sailorville, and 1,500 miles of pipe, they're actually worth something. Not to mention our great employees who are worth more than that. We don't pay them more than that, but they're worth more than that. The point is, the city of Des Moines saw this opportunity to be on the right side, in their view, of legislation that was going to change it, and they somehow take us as a city department for at least 2 years, stop all of our capital improvements programs, which are main replacement programs. We think it's a money grab, and we think it's very easy to say, wow, I'm on the winning side now, and try to cut a deal in future legislation with the majority in the House and the Senate. Huge issue for us and a huge concern because we've done this for 100 years and we've done it as an independent board. This, if anything, this whole situation with House File 316 and the city's support of it are a reminder we're independent from the city. Frank County or the mayor of Des Moines may appoint the folks who sit here, but once they're in those roles, they're acting independent from the city and acting in your best interests. So super important that independence continue as we move forward.
The Des Moines Waterworks serves Des Moines, Ankeny, Polk County, and the many suburbs around Des Moines. The bill's author, Jared Klein, says that Stowe has ignored area leaders who want regional control. Yet no such suburban leaders have come forward in support of the bill. To the contrary, disrupting the organization could lead to disruption of infrastructure that is vital to those suburbs' economic development. Furthermore, Jared Klein is from Kyoto, Iowa, in Washington County, more than 100 miles from the area the waterworks serves. To top things off, this bill is coming out of the agriculture committees, not out of any committee that might deal with utilities or regional governance. Stowe argues that this is clear evidence that this action is intended to stop his lawsuit against Sac, Calhoun, and Buena Vista counties, three heavily agricultural counties to the north and west of Des Moines, whose waters feed into the Des Moines and Raccoon Rivers, the source of Des Moines' drinking water. Drainage pipe outlets in these three counties were monitored for several years and showed very high levels of nitrate, which must be removed from drinking water. Such pipe outlets have been considered non-point source pollution and not subject to regulation, but this assumption has not been tested by case law. Perhaps the most moving speech at the meeting last Thursday was given by board member Mark Wallace.
You know, I grew up here in Des Moines. I graduated from East High School in 1985 and went into the Army and military intelligence. I had an FBI background check. I had to go through basic training. I headed to Germany. I was with the 3rd Armored Division, middle of the Cold War. I remember heading through East Berlin, looking at the way things were there, the nicest places that they had. It didn't compare to what we had. Since my trip to East Berlin with the Army, since that time, I have kept 100 East marks in my wallet just to remind me. It's got the People's Palace. They call it the People's Palace, the People's Congress. And I keep that in my wallet to remind me every day that you can say that it's the People's Congress, but it's not if the people aren't represented in there. If you have to fence your people in or fence other people out or do any of those kinds of things, that's not democracy. That's not what America's about. You know, we put in a lot of hard work. We put in a lot of effort. And the people that are on the staff of the waterworks in West Des Moines, Urbandale, we've got really talented, quality people. I'm an AFSCME member. I sat through the collective bargaining debacle on the Hill last week. My grandmother helped... her friend John Connors write the collective bargaining legislation when she was working on the Senate staff. So for a lot of reasons, it's kind of personal, right? I'm looking at, you know, my rights, my ability to make a living. I work in the public defender's office in Marshalltown. Now they're looking at IPERS. They're looking at everything. They're willing to destroy anything to get back at people. They're not conservative. They're revanchist. That's French for revenge.
Yeah.
They are... radical. They are making radical change. That's not conservative. Conservative is taking care of what we got, looking at our raw water quality, taking care of our soil infrastructure. That's conservative.
Right.
And we need to remember that we are what's great about America. That flag is not their flag. That flag is our flag. Fly it proudly.
Employees of the Waterworks physical plant were also on hand to testify to the positive relations and good management Stowe has brought to the utility since his hire back in 2012. This week, the bill passed out of the Senate and House Agriculture Committees and will go to the full assemblies. But it will require only 4 Republican no votes to kill the bill in the Senate, and Republican Senator Brad Zahn of Urbandale has already committed to a no vote.
Your question is, where do the suburbs stand on this? And of course, the suburbs aren't, you know, a monolith. They don't all think the same way. But what I think these folks find unusual is in this situation, the Des Moines City Council is against us, but we know, as an example, Urbandale City Council and the Ankeny government are against this legislation. So what a strange series of bedfellows. Here we are, deep blue Des Moines, and the folks who are coming to our rescue, at least as best as they can, are the deep red suburbs around us. But there are folks who also understand their business consequences from this. Economic development, Microsoft. If we can't build millions of dollars in capital improvement, people start going to, God forbid, Nebraska or Kansas or whatever to do their economic expansion.
Supporters of the waterworks are contacting Republican legislators from West Des Moines, Adel, Ankeny, Clive, and Windsor Heights in hopes of saving what is a highly functioning utility.
Let me, without playing the sky is falling, tell you that in our business, we watched Flint, Michigan with horror.
That's right.
The horror there is that a state government, Rick Snyder, came in and grabbed that utility and went through a process that led to a daisy chain where nobody cared about what they were pushing out their plant into the pipes that serve you and me. We absolutely do not want to see something like that happen. And God knows, we'll all be working very hard to keep that from happening. But my real point is, you start messing around with governance structures, start freezing assets, start stopping improvements of mains and new water treatment systems because you can't spend any money.
things happen and bad things can happen, as Flint, Michigan reminds us.
A public hearing on the proposed dismantling of Des Moines Water Works will be held on Monday, March 6 at 10 a.m.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI. And we now have someone who's joined us on the phone, Chris Corbin. We wanted you to tell us about the upcoming Murder Mystery Dinner Theater. I'm not sure if I'm calling that right, but tell us about this production that you have starting this weekend.
Well, really, it's not a production, because really the characters or the people who play it are people who actually come to the dinner. So it's kind of an ad-lib part of it, and the other part of it is by script, and they have clues. But it's called the Chicago Caper, and there are eight characters that play parts. There are four women parts and four men parts, and it deals with a guy named Harold Capone gets out of prison, and he got put in prison by one of these people, and he's back to get revenge, and someone gets murdered. And what we have is we started about 5 o'clock this Saturday. This Saturday is pretty much booked up. We're still looking for two parts if we can get that, but next Saturday we're going to do it all over again, and new characters and everything. But we'll start about 5 o'clock on those evenings with appetizers and wine. Then we'll go through part of the script for scene one, and then we'll go to have dinner. And we've got a lovely dinner planned for that evening. After that, we'll go back and play the next couple parts, and then we'll have a lovely dessert, and then we'll recap at the end of the night.
And where does this take place?
This is going to take place at our Dyer Dow House here in Nevada on 5th Street, right across from the administrative county administrative building.
It's interesting that it's not just people coming to watch a play. They're coming to be part of a murder mystery enactment.
Yep. And then we do have guests that come just to watch. We got people that like to watch other people do their part. So we have room for a total of about, with actors and watchers, probably right around 20 people.
And reservations are needed. If you could tell us about reservations and where people can get more information.
They can get more information on our website. That's NevadaIowaHistory.org. Or they can go onto our Facebook, which is Nevada Community Historical Society's Facebook page. Or they can just call me. Is it okay for me to get my phone number out over the line here?
Sure, if you don't mind.
I don't have a problem with that. They can contact me. My number is 515-509-7241.
And you've got a few spots left for this weekend, and then next weekend still available.
Yeah, Saturday night, this coming Saturday, the only thing I have open is I have two parts that need to be played. I need one male part and one female part.
Okay. Well, it sounds like an interesting way to spend a Saturday night. So
we've done this probably for the last 7-8 years now, usually around this time of the year, and we've always had an enjoyable time.
Well, thanks for speaking with us this morning, and I hope you get a good turnout. People
solved
the mystery.
Thank you very much.
That was Chris Corbin speaking with us about the Murder Mystery Dinner Theater that will be running this Saturday and next Saturday. But now, it's the first Friday of the month, so we've been joined in the studio by Susan Guiazda, the Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames. Thanks for being here, Susan.
Good morning.
And you brought Keith Abraham, the Director of Parks and Rec. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning.
So it's March, and that means spring is almost here. So during that change of season, there's lots going on in Ames and many things that residents, I'm sure, need to be updated on. So shall we begin with some events that are happening?
Sure. We have lots of events going on in March. I think I mentioned last time I was here, we have the Eco Fair coming up. It's one of our premier events focused on sustainability that we're opening a little bit earlier this year, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, March 25th in the Community Center Gymnasium. Many, many city departments will be on hand to discuss conservation, sustainability, conserving energy, the electric department, water department, as well as resource recovery. But we also have the Ames Public Library, Ames Police Department, and Ames Fire Department. It really is sort of a very broad-based look at sustainability, about biking, safety. We call it all things sustainable, as well as it's open to vendors and businesses in the community to come and share information about high-efficiency air conditioners. We see nonprofits talking about housing. We get student groups talking about the ISU Prism car, the solar car. So it really is a broad based look at sustainability. It's always a very popular event. And this year, for the second year in a row, we're going to have a photography contest that looks specifically at watersheds. And we have information on our website about this. But last year, we asked for entries to be in print form. And this year, we're making it much easier. Each photographer can submit two digital images to our stormwater specialist, Jake Moore. And his address is on our website, but it is the standard configuration for all city email addresses, which is jmoore, M-O-O-R-E, at city.ames.ia.us. But this photo contest will look at things really about water and watersheds, and there's different categories. There's no cost to submit entries. So we hope that if there's photographers out there that are interested, that they can get some more information on our website about this exciting photo contest.
And then some of those will be displayed at the Eco Fair?
They will. They will. So that's always a fun thing to look at. And it's relatively new, and we've had good participation. So we're looking forward to even a bigger contest this year. Before I get too much into my events, only because I know how much people enjoy the time of year when their Parks and Recreation Programs and Facilities Guide arrives in the mail.
Yep, it came this week.
And I want to make sure that Keith has a few minutes to talk about that, because my kids were so excited when ours came just the other day.
Okay. Well, thanks, Susan. Yeah, the guide has been out. It's been mailed to most residents. And if you didn't receive one, you can always go online and look at all of our activities at our website. Or you can call our office at 239-5350 and ask to get a guide mailed to you. Just some of the things. It's always an exciting time of the year. The weather's getting better. Things are starting to green up. You know, we're talking maybe 60-degree weather this weekend, and people, first thing they start thinking is golf. And Homewood Golf Course is run by the city. It's a great course in great shape, but we do not open the course until the first part of April. So there's a lot of things that need to happen before we can get the course up and running. So just wanted to let people know that if they want to get the clubs out, they may have to look somewhere else for golfing this weekend. The other thing, discounted swim passes for Furman Aquatic Center, and those passes in the summertime are good for Furman Aquatic Center plus municipal pool. But if you purchase your pass prior to May 1st, you do get a discount. If you had a pass in 2016, you get a 15% discount on your renewal. And if you're purchasing a new pass, we will give you a 10% discount if it's purchased prior to May 1st. Now, one of the things our staff always does a great job of, and it may not always get the credit, but Jill Burt, who's our aquatics coordinator, Nancy Shaw, who's our public wellness manager, then we have Ian Knutson, who's our recreation manager. You know, they always try to look for new and exciting things to offer. So a few things that are going to be happening at the Furman Aquatic Center this summer. One is Conquer the Current, which is going to be a two-mile race against the current.
Let me just say, I tried to walk one lap against the current, and I was done.
So this is walking, not swimming.
Walking.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Or running, whichever one you want to do. So it'll be in on a Saturday. I don't remember exactly the date, but it'll be on a Saturday from 8 until 10:30, and 2 miles is 19 laps. Against the current.
Wow.
So it would be good training.
You would really need to work on your technique, too. Like, what's the best way to approach that? That's a cool idea.
Lean way forward.
Yeah.
And push hard with your legs.
Sideways. So
is it a race?
Less resistance?
It's a, what it is you're there. Yeah, it's a race. You're going to be timed.
Okay.
So whoever's the
everyone
first
doesn't
person.
Start at the same time.
You know, that I am not sure.
Okay.
You know, if they're all starting
well,
at the same time.
Well, Gail and I are ready to do
time.
This.
Yeah. You know, maybe you can come
training.
You may be able to come during any time, but at 10:30, you know, the event does stop. So whether you've finished your 19 laps or not,
what do you get for doing
done.
One lap?
What was it?
Do you get any kind of award for doing one lap?
No, you get a pat on the back.
But we'll see if we can get some participation ribbons or
I'm
something
need
for
that.
You, Susan. So that's okay. One thing.
All
couple
right.
other events, and then we've already had with the Conquer the Current. We've already had a lot of interest in it. So a neat thing. Two other things that are going to be happening at the Furman Aquatic Center this summer is a Princess Pool Party and a Superhero Pool Party. It's for a parent and a child. to come. And like the name implies, there will be princesses there for the princess pool party, and then there will be some superheroes for the superhero pool party. If that's something that you're interested in, some other communities have done these events and have sold out. So there's only will only take so many parent and child combinations for those events. We do have a diving and treading program this summer, which is new. First Steps in Music is for children 0 to 5 years old. I think we break it down to 0 to 3 and then 3 to 5. But it's really, introducing music, singing, songs, a lot of play into it. So that's a new program that we are doing. We've had tennis lessons for a long time. Indoor tennis we're doing this summer, or actually this spring. Those classes start March 20th. So if that's something you're interested in, you can sign up right away.
Where are those held?
We held those, right now out at Ames Racket and Fitness.
Okay.
Okay, out on South 16th. Mm-hmm. And then Mommy and Me Yoga is something that's new. Those are for moms and their newborns, 0 to 9 months. Teen cardio dance this summer, introduction to Tai Chi. And then one thing that we're starting at the Broom Ball, and that will actually start a week from tomorrow, which will be March 11th, on Saturdays from 4:15 to 5:15, will be drop-in broom ball. So ISU has a huge broom ball program, but we're going to do a little drop-in broom ball for Ames residents and see how they like it. And potentially we may be able to do a league later on.
And what is broom ball?
Okay, so broom ball is played kind of like hockey. You have your nets, but you do have a small ball
okay. That's
on ice. And when it first started, it was actually like those old brooms that you have that you're sweeping your kitchen mm-hmm. floor. Now the brooms, it's a broom handle with a hard molded plastic kind of just a chunk of plastic at the end, and that's your broom. So use that broom to hit the ball around, and you try to score goals.
Okay. Huh.
And you don't use skates, you use gym shoes, yeah. Or there are broom ball shoes that that some people will go out and purchase, or
on,
boots.
On ice.
On ice. Yep, on ice.
You do it on ice?
Yes. I think after you guys train for your Conquer the Current,
yeah, okay.
You should go over and do the drop-in broom ball. It's a lot of fun. It's a if you haven't tried it before.
It sounds like it would be fun to just watch.
We do have plenty of bleacher space,
okay. So
you can always come in and watch. And that's starting on March 11th on Saturdays from 4:15 to 5:15. So those are some of the new programs that we have. And obviously, we have 56 pages of different activities. During the course of the year, we offer over 160 different programs. And in addition, the weather's getting nice. There's always the parks as well. 36 parks throughout the community, 1,200 acres. 20 miles of trails. So there's just a lot of things that that people can do to get out of the house and become active.
Sounds like a plan. And Susan, back to you.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of other
thanks, Keith.
Just events for your calendar. March 13th is the kickoff day for reserving the Street and Greet Block Party trailer. That's always been a popular event, a popular amenity that the city offers. The Block Party trailer is a trailer that would be dropped off in neighborhoods to be used for neighborhood gatherings. So the Block Party trailer includes things like tables, chairs, games like a hula hoop or bean bags. It has a very small portable sound system in it. And if you've ever had to host a block party and you don't have a whole stack of tables and chairs around, this makes it a lot easier. So those reservations will start March 13th. We reserve the trailer the summer into early fall, and it is dropped off in the neighborhood. You get a key and then the trailer will be picked back up after your event. It's really important to just reiterate that it is for block parties. It's not for a graduation party or a birthday party or anything private. It's really for strengthening neighborhoods through social gatherings. So you can find more information about the block party trailer on our website. There's a friendly URL. It's cityofames.org/trailer. And you can get information about what's in the trailer, the philosophy behind the trailer, and how to reserve it. And again, that those will start on March 13th. On Monday, March 13th, we'll start taking reservations. Another date for March, Wednesday, March 29th, we'll start hydrant flushing. This is an annual spring program that our Public Works Department puts on. Flushing the hydrants has all sorts of benefits. They open the fire hydrants, flush out the mineral deposits and sediments. We verify that those fire hydrants are working properly. We can fix valves. We can identify any kind of weakness or leaks in the water system. And once the hydrants are flushed, the crews will move on to the next one. And the neat thing about this program is that as they flush out the hydrant in your neighborhood, that information is recorded real time on our website. We have a map. All the hydrants start out red. They're on the map with little red dots. They turn green as we flushed and moved on. The thing about hydrant flushing is because we are flushing out the hydrants and dislodging those minerals is that sometimes people get sediment in their water. So you might experience what we call rusty water. Again, rusty water is not dangerous to drink. It simply can stain if you use it for laundry. So we say that you could just flush out your cold taps for a few minutes until they run clear. And then the water is fine. It's not an issue if you forget to do that. If you do your laundry with rusty water, we actually have rust remover at City Hall and all the fire departments. They're little tablets. You can run the laundry again. Don't dry it. Just run it again and it'll get the rust out of there. So just remember, end of March, we'll be doing hydrant flushing. We do set up message boards around the different neighborhoods. We move around the community. It takes over a week to get all the hydrants flushed. There are lots of hydrants and Ames and lots of neighborhoods that we need to get through. So it takes some time. And just be aware, if you have hydrant flushing in your neighborhood, you might have some sediment in your water. Some other things we have coming up. We're taking nominations. The Human Relations Commission is seeking nominations for its annual Home for Everyone Award. And this is an award that honors a worthy individual organization that has made a contribution to providing housing opportunities in Ames that enhance the quality of life for members of disadvantaged populations. This is a fairly new award, but the recipient of the award will be recognized in April, which is Fair Housing Month. And the Home for Everybody Award nomination is available at our city website. And again, a friendly URL, it's cityofames.org/AHRC, which again is Ames Human Relations Commission. So you can find that nomination form and make sure you get it filled out by Wednesday, March 15th. So we have some deadlines coming up.
Susan, we're about running out of time, but I know you had other things you wanted to share. We'll put links up on our website for some of the items. Is there one last thing?
Yeah, there is one last thing. I hope people are starting to notice we have a campaign going called Always Ames. It is sort of a community pride campaign going. It is economic development tool. Always Ames is all about recruiting or suggesting to the millennials that Ames would be a great community for them to consider relocating. We have a growing workforce. We have great opportunities here with our schools, our cultural events, our athletic events. So I hope that people are starting to see the Always Ames message. We're asking that people hashtag Always Ames when they use social media and to just be great ambassadors for our community. Always Ames is just about letting people know that we're an option if they're looking to relocate. And we think that it's pretty great here in Ames and we would like others to join us.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, both of you, for being here. We always feel very well informed and glad to live in Ames after we hear all that's going on and all the amenities. We've been speaking with Susan Guiazda, the Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames, and Keith Abraham, the Director of Parks and Recreation. This is KHOI Community Radio, and you've been listening to Local Talk. I've been your host, Gail Seiler. Thanks to our guests earlier in the show who spoke about International Women's Day. Hunter Martin, Andrea Grineau, and Mary Logsdon. Greta Anderson brought us a segment about the Des Moines Water Works legislation that's in the Senate. Local Talk is broadcast on KHOI at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can also listen to today's Local Talk show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. Local Talk was engineered today by Ursula Rudenberg. Our theme song is backtracked by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, This Ballad of Kate Shelley. KHOI is a community radio station that is driven by volunteers and made possible by donations from individuals, businesses, and organizations in the community. Please support KHOI. It's easy to do. Go to the website, khoifm.org, and look for the donate button. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show, which means you can be part of the team of volunteer producers and reporters. If you would like to join the team, contact us via phone or our website. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as audience and supporter is what makes KHOI possible and meaningful. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.
Support for KHOI comes from Stevens Auditorium, presenting the award-winning National Symphony Orchestra of Ukraine. More information can be found at center.iastate.edu. Center.iastate.edu.